He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the Monday, September 25th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And this is the last week of the quarter already. Q3 will end on Friday. And that darned old earnings parade will begin all over again in about 3 or 4 weeks from now. Right now, we've got a little bit of green on the screen, but we've also got some worrisome stuff going on here. The NASDAQ, let's begin there. The NASDAQ's up a few points right now. It's at 13,210. It was down about 3% last week, however. The Dow is down 79 right now. It's down a quarter of a percent. Believe it or not, the Dow is only up 4% so far this year. The Dow sits at 33,884. The S&P is down a couple of points. Small caps are flat. Crude oil is up 34 cents, but it's hanging around that 90 area. That big advance is finally halted there for now. Hopefully for good. It's at $90.37. Gold is down $3 to $19.42. And here's the bugaboo. 10-year. The 10-year. When is it going to stop? It's like water torture. 4.52%. It's up 8 basis points again today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. President of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, I would say the number one factor, there's three big factors going on this week. Number one is interest rates, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, and won't go away. You said 10-year. I'm thinking 10-year. Yeah, they have 10-year.
4.52. We're going back to 2007 to see rates that high. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, October. October of 2007, I believe.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe it's the government potential shutdown this Friday that's driving these rates higher, a little bit of a flight to safety. That would be bugaboo worry number two this week. It's not on the entire budget, but parts of the budget. And there's, somebody's got to stand firm somewhere. Do you know, Barry, back in 2007, the last time we had interest rates this high, we had $9 trillion in debt, okay? Now we have $33 trillion in debt.
Yeah, almost four times as much, right?
So, just the interest on that amount of debt is $1 trillion a year. Somebody's got to do something somewhere. And if they do, they're considered enemies of the state. So this is kind of the times that we live in.
They're going to need bigger calculators.
These days,
I think that's the problem.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine what the $3 trillion looks like across your Excel sheet in one of your...
I've seen it. And add the cents in there, a couple, of, and it really is a long, long number. Now, okay, so this rising interest rate situation, I think maybe oil has cooled off for now, which was causing part of the interest rate problem. But the other big part with interest rates was the Fed statement, was it higher for longer, and their stupid dot plot, which they don't have to live by, but the market's going to trade off of that dot plot. So, look at how much do interest rates impact the market? Well, I track ARC every week, ARC Funds, which is very interest rate sensitive, very, very interest rate sensitive. It was down 9.9% last week, ARC Funds was. 9.9%. The NASDAQ was down 3.2%. And then, of course, the lower PE Dow was down 1.9%. But that's the impact that interest rates are having.
Well, on the other side of it,
equities.
Yeah, and it's strictly interest rates. That's kind of the because that's the one thing where it's kind of easy to go back to that variable. At least I guess thankfully there's not eight different things affecting the heavily affecting the market at the moment. You got to figure out how much each one each of one's having an effect on it. But I've even seen on the other side of that equation earnings. I've seen folks
not bad.
I think earnings estimates have gone up 10% for 2024 in a fairly short period of time. So
not bad. So those are just estimates and things can change. That's why we come to work every day and check the news out. Last week was not a good way. The week it was the worst weekly performance since early March. Last week in the market, it was all driven by interest rates and the Fed. 9 of the 11 sectors finished negative last week. And, of course, the higher P.E. stuff is going to take it on the chin. I mean, consider that Cathie Wood's ARK Fund was down almost 10% last week. Almost 10%. And we've got to get this 10-year turned around. Just for fun, I think we ought to look at the shorter term, the 2-year bond, to see where that is at right now.
And it's beginning to flatten out.
5.12. Yeah,
I think that spread's beginning to come in a bit, but I still got a ways to go to get back to a non-inverted inverted yield curve.
And yeah.
Of course, we'll get the PCE inflation at the end of the week this week, which is going to have an effect on that rate, certainly. And then we've got some Fed speakers middle of the week. Even Powell, I think, is speaking at 4 p.m. on Thursday. I don't know what event that is, but I'm sure there'll be mountains in the background or close somewhere by a beach.
Yeah, something. An island in the Pacific, somewhere nice. They know how to live, those people, on our dime. Well, anyways, we had, again, a pretty rough week last week. It's good to see the NASDAQ stabilizing today. I think this big jump in interest rate, I think it's transitory, okay? I think it's a combination of
using
things.
Using the T word. Right.
I keep saying transitory, and it keeps going up. Wow, you know what? But I do think that it's so extended here at 4.52. That's up there in the stratosphere. I did say oil would. I said oil was also temporary, transitory, and I think oil has settled in at least at $90 per barrel, and probably not going to go too much higher from here. So that's a good thing there. We have one strike solved, one down, a couple to go still, but the Hollywood writer strike, I could care less really about the poor. The poor actors.
They can write. Yeah, right now, I guess you'll have the actors are still out, so you'll just have a bunch of scripts and
act pretty good, if I had to. Now, last week, the consumer discretionary got whacked. It was down 6.3%. There's a couple more stories today. It's mostly coming from Jeffries saying all of a sudden there's pressure on the consumer, and we'll get to that a little bit. Real estate really took a hit last week. That sector was down 6%. That's your REITs, people that own companies that own office buildings downtown, etc. And then tech was down about 3% last week. Now, Mary Daly spoke on Friday. She said she's one of the Fed governors. The decision to leave rates unchanged recognizes that the Federal Reserve has rapidly raised rates. They recognize that. Thank you. And it allows the central bank to collect more information to see if more is necessary. But here's what the line I like from her. It's unequivocally good news that inflation has come down significantly. But she says she's not ready to declare victory. The Fed is aiming to bring in down inflation as gently as we can. Okay, keep your hand on the, keep your eyes on the road and your hands upon the wheel.
Keep their rhetoric. All you need to do is keep their rhetoric gentle, right?
Yes.
Maybe when they're talking.
And of course, they're divided in Washington. Imagine that. Imagine that in a day where everything's divided. Republicans are divided, too. Not only are the Republicans divided from the Democrats, but the the Republicans are divided within. I just think you got to take a stand somewhere. Somebody brave's got to step up and say, come on, $33 trillion, $1 trillion going to just the interest, and we're running these deficits of $2 trillion per year. Somebody's got to take a stand. There may be some pain, but somebody's got to take a stand. It's not sustainable. All right, so we'll see.
It's not rational. I mean, it just
no.
Just isn't, so.
It makes us a very weak country. Other countries are looking at us and say, go ahead, rack up all the debt you want. This makes you very weak on the world stage. Okay, now when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the other strike that's going on. And, of course, you got President Biden headed there to carry a picket sign, I think, tomorrow. With the striking United Auto Workers. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. And we are seeing some stabilization despite another jump in interest rates. I think maybe, you know, the market looks ahead. I think the market is looking beyond this little spate here that we've had, 3 or 4 days of just spiking rates. You know, the market, the NASDAQ is up a little bit here today. And if we could get those rates to start coming down, this is a pretty good buying opportunity right here. There's a lot of really good values actually right now in the NASDAQ. But you have to look hard, you know. There, a lot of them are underneath the surface. Okay, now we've got the United, well, the Canadian union members voted in favor of the Ford new contract. Maybe that bodes well for the American side of the union. The UAW strike rolls on as Biden and Trump head to Michigan this week. And, of course, we head to Michigan October 16th, or 17th, 18th, 19th. A lot going on in Michigan here.
United Detroit Auto Show, is that?
I think it just ended.
Yeah, it just ended. Okay,
They went ahead and had it anyways. And I guess electric vehicles were the hit of the show, people looking at them. And then they look at the price tag of them and they go, oh, my gosh. Anyways, Biden, he's going to march. He's on the side of the auto workers. Trump is in our state. He's about 1 hour from where we live. He's out in Somerville today, South Carolina. And then Trump is headed to Michigan also. I don't know what he's going to do there. But I'm sure he will have a different stance on this whole situation than Biden currently has. We do get some earnings this week. This is the last week of the quarter. Companies are scrambling right now to, you know, see if there's any expenses they can put off or take now or pay now, if there's any contracts they can book. Whatever, this is the scramble to the end of the quarter. Nike will report this week, which is a member of the Dow. Micron, which is in the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. Costco, which is also in the S&P 500. Carnival, Paychex, and Accenture. So that's pretty big. Those are some pretty important companies. But then on Friday, of course, the quarter ends. You get a couple of weeks before they start, you know, having good numbers to report. And then the banks start reporting, and then it starts rolling again for another earnings season. Right now, as of Friday, when I looked, we're looking for about the same amount of earnings for the third quarter of this year versus the same comparable quarter last year. No growth. A little bit of sales growth, 1.5, but earnings growth, at least for now, okay? This is before anybody's reported. This is kind of the starting line.
And initially, there was supposed to be those growth, you know, there was supposed to be a little, you know, some negative growth towards the back half of earnings. And, of course, as you know, the quote unquote soft landing or whatever term you want to use, as long as, you know, the economy keeps growing, as long as that extends out, you know, at whatever, even if it's at a very low rate, you know, you're still, you're still going to have, you know, you're not seeing that earnings decline that was kind of expected in terms of the back half of this year.
So. And we're going to come in with about $220 per share in earnings for 2023. That compares to $60 back in 2009. And there's no better explanation whatsoever as to why the market has gone up for the last 14 years since 2009. When it bottomed, the S&P bottomed in the 600 area. Now it's at 43, 4400 because earnings have been rising. And we're expected to come in with record earnings this year, $220 per share, a little bit more than we had last year. But what we've seen this year, the multiple has shrunk a little bit. We're down in that 18, more in the normal multiple range of 18, 18 and a half. 19, you saw it come down about a half a point last week because of rising interest rates. And next year, right now, I want to say we're at about 250 in estimates. 222 this year, 250 next year. And that's why we can still go higher, but obviously those earnings estimates need to stay in place. And we need to have an earnings season that comes in at least as expected, hopefully a little better than expected. The other problem that we've had, and it's maybe settling down, oil prices are settling a little bit now, $90 an area. One of the problems is Russia continues to avoid the G7 sanctions. They're taking in record amounts of money right now to finance their war because they've got $95 per barrel oil over there that they're selling. Of course, they're selling it on the black market, so they're probably not getting that price. But still, they are getting around the sanctions and selling their oil, which is vital, absolutely critical to Russia's economy. Okay, now on the other hand, over on our side of the pond, the a U.S. judge orders expansion of Gulf of Mexico oil lease sale. Well, the Biden administration, they don't have any will whatsoever to increase oil production to counter Saudi Arabia's oil cuts. And in fact, I mean, they're going the other direction. They use all kinds of different ploys and whatnot. Now it's a whale. A rare whale in the Gulf of Mexico, and they put, I think it was 66 million acres of drillable oil in the Gulf of Mexico off limits. Well, a judge came in over the weekend, Louisiana-based judge.
And what
judge.
Was the whale? I mean, growing up on the Gulf, I never even knew we had any whales. I'm
no.
starting to see, we started to see a lot more, whale sharks, but still
yes.
not a whale.
No. Actually, it was 6 million acres.
Yeah,
to protect an endangered whale. And they wanted to put traffic limits on vessels. Like a fisherman's going to go 5 to 10 miles an hour to the fishing grounds or whatever. But a judge came in and threw that out. But it just goes to show you, anybody who says that they're pro-oil, that they play every game possible to shut down fossil fuels. Okay, I said when the I remember non-fungible tokens. I thought they were mushrooms at first.
NFT, yeah, right.
I warned, you know, I wouldn't touch them. Once hyped NFTs are now largely worthless. Oh, imagine that. They're largely worthless. So anyways, I mean, remember all of that garbage with artwork?
We had the one, remember it was the artist, I think it was in Somerville, I think right down the street from here, remember sold, it was like the first NFT sale, and it was, remember how many million dollars that
I
it went
I think Trump
for?
Did one. Didn't Trump do one of all the superheroes?
I think he did one later.
Now, when we come back, I'm going to talk about an amazing story out there in the market. I talked to somebody yesterday who's been on Mounjaro, Lilly's weight loss drug. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gutterson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, one of the biggest stories for me in 2023 are the weight loss drugs, which right now there's two of them. You've got Novo Nordisk, which we wrote up an entire article on that. And you've got Lilly, which we also wrote up an entire article on. One has Wegovy, that's Novo Nordisk. And Lilly has Mounjaro. And I've saw a personal results of somebody who has lost 65 pounds on Mounjaro. He's a little older than me. That's amazing. Probably in his low 70s. He's back to his high school weight. And, you know, and he's a veteran in the biotech industry. He knows his stuff. He worked for many, many years in the drug industry. And we were talking yesterday about the impact. You know, yes, the cost of the drug is $40,000-$45,000 per year, but what is the cost of, cancer treatments or new hips, new knees, diabetes, yeah. All the different things that can come.
Dialysis, kidney disease, that's a big one, because that's one that actually a big moneymaker for the for certain parts of the healthcare system.
And apparently Lilly has another one in the pipeline behind it that's very similar but even more powerful. So that's a big huge advance, which could really shake up the entire healthcare. Now, I talked to him a little bit about the addiction issue. If it can take away your appetite for food, can't it take away somebody's appetite for drugs or alcohol, etc.? And he says it could. He says that's one of the studies that's being done, and that was in the Seeking Alpha not too long ago. That's a massive breakthrough. It's going to kill the dieting industry. I already read that, people are going to that. They would much rather go to that than go in and get liposuction or tummy tucks or all the other cosmetic things that used.
And which have their own problems, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I remember I knew a lot of people that had these bypasses. And
like the lap band surgery?
It doesn't seem like it turned out well. I know a lot of people that had those procedures, and they've had a lot of issues since those procedures. So anyways, Mounjaro, which is a superior drug to Wegovy, but they're both in high demand, and these two stocks, look at the really benefit in coming years, I would think.
Well, when I saw where Novo Nordisk is, reinvesting probably some of those revenues and profits from the drug to they're doing a collaboration with an artificial intelligence company where you actually talked about it last week in terms of using AI to do drug development, and so they're actually partnering with, I think the company is Valo Health. And so they're actually a $2.7 billion AI partnership. So,
yes. Yep. So anyways,
everyone's getting in on AI.
There's a lot of progress. And of course, Lilly is a 100-year-old company, and still coming up with stuff like this. Lilly also got an FDA nod today for Jardiance, which is another pretty good drug that they have in chronic kidney disease. So anyways,
they're big in the cancer side too. I think you know, Lilly's for a while they had a big focus obviously on the cancer side, and they've now they're branching out into kind of developing that broad pipeline instead of some of the companies that really have kind of a one trick pony until that patent
runs out. Yeah, I'm just going to say that it seems like the number one health problem in America that leads to all kinds of other is obesity.
Certainly.
Is being overweight. I mean,
yeah.
We have it too good in today's world.
Well, in okay. everything, I mean, in joints, I mean, yeah, I think
yes,
of skeletal, I mean, there's every facet of, of life, depression, other things too. So.
Updated COVID boosters to divide America. Like, we're not divided all. We're divided on everything. We can't agree on anything. And obviously, COVID boosters, another COVID booster. There's not very many people that are real interested. About 30% are interested in going out and getting boosted with the latest concoction by Pfizer and Moderna. 54% said they were personally concerned about the vaccine.
I mean, are they going to take a poll on the flu vaccine? Are we going to take a poll on the flu vaccine, too? I mean, come on.
Yeah. I heard ads running. I'm sure Pfizer's running these ads. Go while you're in there getting your flu shot, make sure you get your COVID shot, too, your updated COVID shot. Now, okay, that's inside your body working these different drugs. How about outside? Meta's personality. We've talked about this in the past. They've created AI chatbots for kids, teenagers, with an eye on younger users that have a personality so that you can shop. You know, I guess you can speed date or whatever with the chatbots to find somebody that's in line with you. And
which
that you
one?
Can, oh, my gosh.
Is my answers to my questions going to vary, too, depending on if what I want to hear?
You'd have to kind of agree on your sports teams. You'd have to kind of agree on politics, what kind of music you like. We used to call that dating, but, now that it's you just get an AI chat bot. Speaking of sports, I don't know. I decided to watch the Clemson game because they were playing Florida State. They're number four.
Yeah, my alma mater. We haven't beat Clemson since I moved to South Carolina.
Clemson's beat them like 20 years in a row or something. And that poor little field goal kicker, he gets up there for Clemson to win the game. And as he stood there, those goalposts got more narrow and more narrow until they were like 3 inches wide, and he just completely hooked his shot.
I think he went to school down the street. I mean, down here.
He's from Charleston.
Did he go to
our high school, Wando High School?
I don't know if he went to that one. The quarterback for Notre Dame, another team that lost this weekend at the very end, was. He was a quarterback here at Oceanside right down the road.
Oh, yeah. So, it was interesting to watch him. Look, 50,000 people, whatever fits in that stadium. I mean, that is a loud stadium in Clemson. And he lines up there to kick that field goal, and he completely choked. Showed his family. His family was there and everything.
My mom always has the same answer. It's like, I hate it for that kid.
It's like pulling a golf shot into the gallery, right? That's the kind of thing he did. Apple supplier reportedly halts iPhone production after an India fire. I do see a lot of ads on TV for the, I think the advertising's pretty good that they're running.
I heard the low end phone has been doing fairly well in terms of sales, and I think they saw something where they almost can't keep up with it in terms of demand. So they're having a bit of a delay.
Well, let's look at Apple stock today. Flat. Just not very exciting there. Microsoft ticks up as Guggenheim upgrades. I keep hearing everybody saying, those AI ChatGPT revenue is going to start rolling in any day for Microsoft. I think Microsoft is probably one of those stocks. I currently have it 70, almost 75% upside potential after it pulled back. It's down $50 per share since July.
Well, and, Someone statistically, right? It's both of those stocks, Apple and Microsoft, make up 20% of the NASDAQ, and the NASDAQ continues to, you know, continues to go and
looks
be challenged
like it's stabilizing
because of interest rates.
Yeah, and it looks like to me that the NASDAQ is stabilizing here. We'll see. But anyways, Microsoft, something to look at. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then Nike will report. This is the one that was saying Jefferies is downgrading Nike due to concerns over consumer slowdown.
Which is what we keep hearing. That's why
are we seeing
and
it?
And other things.
Yeah, not, we not. Watch retail sales, you know. We watch different things with the consumer. But apparently these guys get more granular than we do, right down to the, you know, into the weeds. And they're looking at things like, you know, benefits ending from COVID and
people
buy high gas prices
instead of shoes, right?
Yeah. So, anyways, I'm not really seeing it, but they're also warning about Urban Outfitters using the same argument. Okay, we're going to drill down underneath the surface of the market when we come back.
But a mother used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but a mother used the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what's good for.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We will be traveling to Detroit, Michigan. That's October 17th, 18th, and 19th. We will be at the DoubleTree Hotel, the Kingsley in Bloomfield Hills, which I'm sure our listeners are familiar with. Barry, this will be a rare opportunity. This is our first venture out to Michigan. We've been on that station now probably a little over a year, maybe a couple
year
years.
And a half, maybe, yeah, almost, yeah, looking forward to it.
So we'll be there at the Kingsley in Bloomfield Hills, which is 39475 Woodward Avenue, Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, on those dates, 17th, 18th, 19th. And it's a rare opportunity to meet personally with us, Barry and Bill, together to discuss maybe how we can help you. Maybe you have questions. Maybe you're getting ready to retire. Maybe you have a current portfolio you're not happy with being managed by someone else. Maybe you need a plan. Maybe you manage your money and looking to offload that on someone else. Sub it out to somebody who does it full time. You can reach us to set up an appointment. Appointments are anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. ED is the keeper of our schedule is setting those appointments. Again, that's a rare opportunity. Bloomfield Hills, Michigan at the DoubleTree by Hilton. 855-611-BEST.
Yeah, she controls our schedules more than our respective wives do sometimes,
yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
At least during the week.
Oh, God. And when the meeting's over, you know. Like, middle of a sentence, you got to go now. It's not that bad. Okay, now, let's just look. The market is obviously waiting for something, all right? It's pretty directionless today. Which I guess is okay because we had, consider ARC funds was down 9.9% last week. The NASDAQ was down 3.1% last week as interest rates shot higher. The market threw a two-day hissy fit on Thursday and Friday based on the dot plot by the Fed. Maybe that hissy fit is starting to finally blow over. And now it's on to the next concern. And I got to guess that the next concern is the deadline on Friday and the government shutdown. Maybe that's why we got the market on hold.
In the PCE index, PCE inflation report, which is what the Fed watches for
inflation. When's that, on Friday?
That comes on Friday, too.
Okay, all right.
A little double whammy. Right?
But we are seeing, you know, we're not seeing the sell-off that we saw. We had actually a pretty good day going on Friday until we had the usual Friday fade. So I'm thinking the hissy fit, the dot plot hissy fit has come to an end. And now we can start thinking about earnings and other things. But now you got the budget battle in the way. And I do think that there's going to be some people stand up and say enough is enough and cause some pain and some shutdown and some negotiations could be made. You know, the course we're on, it's unsustainable. What do they call it? The new economic theory, which is just print your way, just keep printing money. That sounds like a real good economic theory. Is that what they're teaching in the colleges these days?
Well, I saw, you know, I was looking at what where Powell was speaking. He's going to be speaking to a town hall of educators. So we'll see what methods they're teaching.
Yes. Okay. So the Dow, there's not much happening one way or another. The energy stocks. And United Healthcare, which is one of the better-looking stocks in the market. You know, the healthcare stocks have been totally, looked over. Now, think about it. They could be a beneficiary of these weight loss drugs coming from Lilly and Novo Nordisk getting, treatment costs for obesity and all these other things under control. Someday down the road. Then over at the S&P 500, not much happening. Ford is up 1.4%. I'm going to call the tech stocks of the day Amazon and NVIDIA. They're both up about 1.3% today, which is no great shakes, but it is better than what we've had here recently. And I'm seeing some buys. You know, I'm going to be looking at some things, either we've had a lot of new clients come in that maybe don't own Microsoft yet or Amazon. I don't buy everybody the portfolio on day one. We ease into those stocks, into those positions that we currently own. We look for opportunities to buy them when the time presents itself from a technical point of view and a valuation point of view.
Yeah, really making that decision on a daily basis, right, versus just, you know, buying Microsoft because it's inside of some mutual fund out there.
And I had somebody say, well, you don't give the accounts personal attention. Well, I don't know how much more personal attention you could give it. It would be a heck of a lot easier for me to just throw, this is the way 99% of companies out there, they get the money, give it to Fisher, it's going to be in his portfolio almost immediately, right? Or any other of these money managers. How many managers out there willing to take it one at a time, wait for the opportunity? And we've had people say, how come you're not putting my money to work faster? Well, because we're not finding any opportunities. I'm a very methodical guy. I go through 500 to 1,000 charts and valuations every single day. And I don't jump until I think the timing is right. So anyways, if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, you don't have to be in Bloomfield Hills at the DoubleTree by Hilton. We meet with folks all across America every single week. From the North Pole in Alaska to the far tip of Florida. You can reach
us.
And Hawaii.
Well,
that's right.
Good bit.
855-611-BEST will get you an appointment with us. There's no cost. There's no obligation. We're just going to do our best to see if we can help you. And if you want to meet with us in person, that's a very rare opportunity in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, October 17th, 18th, 19th, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.